Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and today's show, we're live at Craigens and Gull Lake with the Minnesota Army National Guard Recruiting and Retention Battalion. And we'd just like to share with our listeners a little bit. Minnesota's recruiting command finds success in diversity and exclusion. Minnesota is the 21st largest state in the population, but the state has the 6th largest National Guard organization in the country, with more than 13,000 soldiers and airmen in communities throughout Minnesota. And each year, the Recruiting and Retention Battalion for the Minnesota Army National Guard has to find approximately 1,700 new people to join the Minnesota Army National Guard. And that's the job of the Recruiting and Retention Battalion. And joining us this morning is Lieutenant Colonel Mike Pasternik, the commander of that battalion. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having us again.
Here we are. I think we've done this before, sitting in the dining room at Craigens overlooking the lake. Sun's coming up. It's a great day, isn't it, sir?
Yes, Tom. This is our third year here, and as you look out the window and see the sun coming up, I'm starting to think that every day is a beautiful day at Craigens.
Well, I think it is, and we'll have Dutch on later in the show, and I'm sure he's going to attest to that, don't you think?
I'm sure he will.
Commander, this is a great annual event, and it's an opportunity for us at Minnesota Military Radio to recognize all the great work that you and your battalion do. You have to put a lot of new recruits in every year in order to make up for all the people that retire and maybe don't reenlist, don't you?
That's right, Tom. You know, our Minnesota Army National Guard is around 11,000 soldiers total, and we go out. We have the 21st, Minnesota's the 21st state in population, but we have the 6th largest National Guard in the country. And so it takes a lot of hard work and effort, but every day we're out finding great young people who want to have a chance to be part of our formation, want to serve their state and country, and then want to be able to get the experience and the challenges that the military provides.
And Colonel, can you share with us how many years have you been in the military, and why did you join the Minnesota Army National Guard?
Well, I've been in the military 20 years. I joined in 1996, so we're coming on 21 pretty quick. You know, I don't ever remember a time when I didn't want to be in the military. A lot of family. My grandfather, World War II vet, fought in the South Pacific. My dad served in the Vietnam era, and I had several uncles growing up who were also in the military. So that was very influential for me. I remember vividly, though, when I was around 5 years old, at the end of my dad's annual training at Camp Ripley, we went up and they did a pass and review, and I remember kind of standing in awe of all of the soldiers and equipment going by. So that was a pretty influential part of my life. But also just being raised, the way I was raised with my family, the values, hard work and service, I mean, all of those things inspired me. And so as soon as I was able to, I joined.
Well, sir, I understand that you've been training soldiers as a battalion training officer, deputy post commander at Camp Ripley, brigade training officer, and state training officer. And now for the last few years, you've been the commander of the Recruiting Retention Battalion. How has that experience shaped you as a leader?
Well, one of the great things about the Army is the system that, you know, is proven. And if you look at education, diversity of assignments, and just learning that you do in each of the positions. So for me, being an officer, serving as a platoon leader, a company commander, the other positions you mentioned, a battalion commander, serving both at home and then on 3 deployments, all of those things help to shape you. One of the things I think has been most important is in the Army is how you learn through failure, through making mistakes and training, understanding how to be a better leader and understanding how to better perform when the time comes.
Colonel, has there been a big difference the last few years when you've commanded the Recruiting and Retention Battalion compared to your other assignments?
Well, Tom, I think back to, General Colin Powell, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Secretary of State, has a simple saying that leadership is leadership. So I think that there are key fundamental things as a leader, taking care of your people, training them hard, taking care of them and their families. You know, those things are universal. Here in the Recruiting and Retention Battalion, you know, we're the only Minnesota Army National Guard recruiting force. We're it. And so everyone who joins the Minnesota Army National Guard comes through us. And we are a diverse organization. We're spread across the entire state, demographically dispersed, and also diverse in the types of people we have, the types of experience. And that makes a really fantastic organization to be part of. The other thing to note is when we talk about the 1,700 people that join each year, 40% are 40% of every Minnesota citizen that joins the military joins Minnesota Army National Guard.
It's pretty incredible. It's some big numbers, sir, and you're, I think, lucky to have some of the best recruiters, some of the best soldiers in the state to work with you, particularly when they're spread across all over the state and they don't come together every once a month like every other battalion.
Yes, they do an enormously challenging job, and they do fantastic work. Some of the best soldiers I've ever served with in my career are right here in our great organization.
You're listening to Minnesota Military Radio live from Craigens and Gull Lake. Well, we're up here to talk to the Minnesota Army National Guard Recruiting and Retention Battalion. And Commander in the Army, where there's a commander, there's a Sergeant Major, and we're joined today by your Command Sergeant Major, Kurt Service. Sergeant Major, welcome to the show.
Thank you, and good morning.
Sergeant Major, how long have you been in the service, and why did you join?
Tom, I've been in 31 years, goes by fast, and I initially looked at the Minnesota National Guard, partly family tradition. My father was in during the Korea era. I had two brothers in Vietnam, so I always looked up to their service. But my reason was college benefits. Went off to college for 1 year after I graduated high school, and it was tough. And so I was looking for options, and I think the family tradition made it easy for me to join the Minnesota Army National Guard.
When you first started, did you ever think you were going to be a command sergeant major and help your commander?
I did not think that years ago.
So what advice would you give someone that just joined the military and aspired to be a leader?
You know, good leaders and leadership, I believe, is a culmination of knowledge, application, and experience. And so I think it's important to understand that leadership is it's a process. It's always a work in process. And I would probably also stress that get a mentor. Find somebody that can help you develop. And I've had some great mentors over my career, and we always say iron sharpens iron, and I think that's a good example of why you'd want a mentor. And what better place than in the Minnesota Army National Guard? You've got 11,000 soldiers that are learning, developing, and living Army values every day.
Colonel Pasternak, as you know, I was in the Air Force and the Air National Guard, and I've noticed the last 6.5 years, there goes another Colonel Pasternak. I've noticed in the last 6.5 years that in the Army National Guard, the commander and his command sergeant major work very closely together, which is a little bit different than the Air Force. How does that help with your leadership?
It's absolutely essential, the way that we operate in the Army, whether we're at home or deployed overseas. But the command team, as we would call it, between a commander and a first sergeant, if it was at the company level or at the battalion and above a command sergeant major, it's absolutely vital. The command sergeant major maintains that good order and discipline, high standards, provides me input continually about what is going on with individual soldiers, training needs, and with their families. And he's the command sergeant major is the pulse of the organization.
Sergeant Major, we saw at that banquet last night, I don't think I see anywhere that large a group of senior NCOs in one place. And it sounds like from all those awards and the things we learned last night that your recruiters are doing a fabulous job.
They're doing an awesome job. Awesome job. We get, to do this event every year is, and to see these recruiters and NCOs come up and receive awards for the high performance that they do, it's an awesome thing to watch.
Colonel, there were a lot of stripes in that room last night. You've got a great crew.
We do. You know, we put 86 recruiters all around the state of Minnesota, and those positions are staff sergeant and above positions. So we are the most heavily weighted NCO force that we have in our state, and they are fantastic non-commissioned officers.
And they have to be self-starters out there on their own. And
they absolutely do.
Looks like they've each got to get at least 20 new recruits every year.
Well, probably more.
Probably more.
Yeah, that's right, Tom.
Colonel, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to meet some of your NCOs and see what kind of job they're doing all over Minnesota. This is Minnesota Military Radio, live from Craigens on Gull Lake, with the Minnesota Army National Guard Recruiting and Retention Battalion. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're live today from Craigens and Gull Lake with the Minnesota Army National Guard Recruiting and Retention Battalion. And my guest host for the show has been Lieutenant Colonel Mike Pasternak. And Colonel Pasternak, once again, we got the sun coming up over the lake. We're in this beautiful dining room that Dutch Kraken built many, many decades ago, and he's going to be joining us later on the show. But what a great place to do a little morning radio, sir.
Absolutely terrific, Tom.
Colonel, I know that we've got, in this segment, we're going to talk to a couple of your recruiters, and we've got one up here at the stage with us. Would you like to introduce him?
Yeah, absolutely. So joining us now is Sergeant First Class A.C. Matthews, and he is our non-commissioned officer in charge of our recruit sustainment program. So Sergeant Matthews has many years of recruiting experience, and now when we enlist our young soldiers into the formation while they're waiting to go to their initial training, we have what we call a recruit sustainment program to help train them, keep them motivated, make sure they're administratively and physically ready to ship to training. And Sergeant Matthews is the NCO in charge of that program.
Sergeant Matthews, welcome to the show.
Good morning, sir.
Sergeant Matthews, I understand you're the oldest brother in a family and the first one to join the service. Is that right?
I am, sir. I've got 5 brothers and 3 sisters, and I'm the oldest male child.
And you're leading the way because one of them followed you, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. He's actually up here this weekend with us as well. So it's been awesome.
So what happened for you? How did you decide to join the Minnesota Army National Guard?
So coming from a family of that size and being the oldest brother, I'm expected to set the example for them. So I tried doing that in many ways. I did pretty well in high school and held down a job and played some sports and led them in that way. And then the National Guard provided me an opportunity to show them something that was not in our family's recent history. So
you've been in for about 15 years now?
Yes, coming up on 16 here.
Feeling pretty good about it?
Oh, yeah, loving it.
Going for 30? We'll see. Tell me about what is the Recruit Sustainment Program?
So as the commander said, the Recruit Sustainment Program is a program that we have for young men and women after they enlist. Prior to going to basic combat training and advanced individual training, we get them ready, physically fit. So we put them through the rigorous exercise program, push-ups, sit-ups, running, you name it. We do it with them. Anything that they'll encounter at basic training, we try and give it to them before they get there. We get them administratively ready, so we make sure that all their paperwork is in line for getting paid and things of that nature. And then also the mental preparation. So we get them ready for being yelled at by drill sergeants and waking up early and going to sleep late and things of that nature, sir.
I can remember that drill sergeant. Even in the Air Force, he wasn't very nice, but that's all right. Now, Sergeant Matthews, we've talked about for years now that the Minnesota recruiting program finds success in diversity and inclusion. Diversity means that we have to find the talent and we have to find the diverse nature that matches the population of the state of Minnesota to join particularly now the Army National Guard.
Yes.
How tough is that?
It can be challenging, sir, without having large populations already in to get into those communities. But we do that in several different ways. We do it through we look at our force and say, if we're short, you know, these type of people, whatever demographic it is, whether it be racial, ethnic, gender-specific, anything like that, we find people to go into those communities and make sure that we provide opportunities to them. We have recruiters that reflect those communities, which has proven to be pretty effective.
So we want to find the sharpest, the best, the most people that, like me, wave the flag and they're red-blooded Americans and want to serve. And
correct.
How hard is it to find those folks?
It can be a challenge when you're looking at it, especially when you start talking, you know, diversity and inclusion. We have an office dedicated to that mission, which keeps us abreast of the different things that go on in those communities. So we observe for women, Denim Day, you know, the Mexican Heritage Month, the Black History Month, and things of that nature, to make sure that we include all of those folks in what we do.
Colonel, you've got more than just a shotgun job here. You want to find our best young people. You want to find people that match the population of Minnesota. You want to find people that can run computers and run radio equipment like Sergeant Angelo is doing. It's not just going out taking anybody you can get, is it?
Yeah, that's right, Tom. You know, we don't, if you look back and, you know, people used to talk about go to war, go to jail in the 70s, and, you know, that kind of like, are we picking from the bottom? And that's absolutely not true. In today's military, we pick from the top. It takes a highly motivated, qualified individual to serve in the military.
Sergeant Matthews, I'd like to thank you for joining us today, and I hope you have years of service and do a great job for the recruiters here in Minnesota.
Thank you very much for having me, sir.
Thank you. Colonel Bezzer. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We're recording live today from Craigens on Gull Lake with the Minnesota Army National Guard Recruiting and Retention Battalion, and my co-host has been Lieutenant Colonel Mike Pasternak. And Colonel Pasternak, we have another one of your soldiers joining us right now, Sergeant Serena Martinez.
Yeah. Good morning, Sergeant Martinez.
Good morning, sir.
Sergeant Martinez comes to us from down in Marshall, Minnesota, where she is a recruiter, one of our young, terrific recruiters from the southwest part of our state.
And Sergeant Martinez, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
How long ago did you join the recruiting command?
The recruiting command. Well, I joined back in April.
So you're new to recruiting retention.
Yes, sir.
But you were over at public affairs for a while.
Yes, sir.
And how long have you been in the military?
I forget sometimes. I think it's coming on 13 years, about that.
They went quick?
They did. Very, very quick.
And what prompted you to join the military?
That's a very good question, Tom. Sometimes, there's many, many reasons, and a lot of people join for many different reasons. Honestly, looking back now as a recruiter, my recruiter had to find that reason for me. I definitely was not the military type. And 13 years later, now when I see him, I thank him because he found in me those qualities. But I guess at the age of 17, like any other Tom girl, I wanted to make my father proud. I had uncles and grandfathers in the military, and also being very competitive young lady, I was the first female in my family to enlist, so I was pretty happy about that. And I wanted to prove that I can do it and satisfy my curiosity about what it was like, and I'd like to say that I stayed because of the camaraderie that I found in it. And, well, like everybody else at 9/11, I watched those towers fell and God and country took over, and then here I am.
A little red-blooded flag waving isn't bad, is it?
No, it's not.
Only if you can say the word flag waving.
Yes.
So you and your recruiter are still happy with each other. He's happy he recruited you or she, and
yes,
you're happy that
he is. Our first class, Rodney Coley, if you're out there, thank you.
All right. So, Sergeant Martinez, what have you found to be the main reason why people are joining the Guard?
Some things change and some things don't, Tom, but I think that the main reason that I'm hearing from a lot of people is they want to be a part of something that's bigger than them. And you can find that in other places, but you're not going to get that feeling of camaraderie, and you're not going to get the opportunities that you would to the Guard. So.
Okay, so you've been doing this down in Marshall, is that what the Colonel said?
Mm-hmm.
And you've gotten your feet wet now. How do you like recruiting?
Well, you asked me that in front of all these people.
It's the other side of the deal. You were recruited, and now you're recruiting.
I'm really liking it, Tom. I'm finding that it was a challenge I didn't realize it was. People, to find a soldier and to find someone who's meant to be a soldier is not an easy task. It's not an easy task, but I am finding that it is giving me the opportunity to help other people to start a career and to do something that's going to be good for them later down the line.
I got to ask this question. Have you visited any of the schools, and did any of the ladies come up to you and ask you what it's like to serve in the Minnesota Army National Guard?
I think some of them get a little scared, and I don't know why. Try to smile, and some of them do, but I think that a lot of them do like seeing a female recruiter out there. In the military, it's always we're all the same, green, and we're all a part of one team, and I appreciate the opportunities as a woman it's given me, but I think that the National Guard is one of the most equal opportunity-minded places because I'm paid based off of my rank and my performance, and so.
And Colonel, I understand that the Minnesota Army National Guard, most if not all, the jobs are open to women these days.
Yes. Recently, we are just about two of our military occupational specialties away from having a fully gender-integrated force.
You catch up to the Air Force then, because they're all open over that side,
right?
Aren't they?
We're working hard at it.
But you've got a bigger force, and you have to attract the best people out there. And I think it's great that things have changed over the decades, and now the ladies can get into just about any job they want.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Does that get the young people excited?
It does. It does. Now field artillery is open. I'm a little too tired to go back to field artillery. That's where I grew up, in the field artillery world down southwest Minnesota. But we have some women down there now, and I'm very proud of them for being in that.
Well, I'm hoping by next year you get one of those rewards for recruiting if we come back up to this,
dinner. I'm hoping so, too, Tom.
So better stick with this for a while and find some good young ladies and men to join us and fill all of those spots for some of the older people that are retiring.
I'd be happy to. Thank you.
I'd like to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
This is Minnesota Military Radio. We're live from Craigens and Gull Lake with the Minnesota Army National Guard Recruiting and Retention Battalion. Please stay with us. We're going to be back with another one of Colonel Pasternak's soldiers. It's got a great story, so please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and today we are live at Cragins on Gull Lake with the Minnesota Army National Guard Recruiting and Retention Battalion, and my co-host for the show has been Lieutenant Colonel Mike Pasternak, the commander of the Recruiting and Retention Battalion. And Commander, you've got a big job to do every year to fill all of those spots to make sure that the Minnesota Army National Guard has got the best people there and people in training. And some of the people that you sign up this year, maybe in 15, 20 years, will be taking some huge command spots. So you've got a lot of work to do every year. But I wonder, how does the commander of the recruiting command recruit his recruiters? Where do you find all these good NCOs to help you get the job done, sir?
From right within the formation of the 11,000 soldiers we have in the state. You know, we are in the talent acquisition business, whether that is bringing in new soldiers into the Guard, bringing in non-commissioned officers and officers that may be from other states or people coming off of active duty who might want to be in the Guard. And once they're in the Minnesota National Guard, our recruiters and our non-commissioned officers in charge of supervisors and all of us within the battalion are always out looking and talking to the soldiers out in our formations around the state and seeing if they would like an opportunity to be a recruiter.
So some of the recruiters come from inside the Minnesota Army National Guard, and some of them come from outside the Minnesota National Guard. And we've got one of them we want to talk to right now, Sergeant First Class Mark Hammer. Sergeant Hammer, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. Good morning.
Sergeant Hammer, I'm looking at your bio, and you've been just about everywhere. You've had a lot of jobs. You've been deployed. How many deployments have you been on?
Three deployments.
So you were in Iraq once?
Iraq once, Afghanistan twice.
Yeah, second time you volunteered to go back to Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. And you've been parts of, you started out as a Ranger, is that right?
That's correct, 2nd Ranger Battalion.
And how many years have you been in service?
Wow, we're coming up on 25 here.
25 years.
Yeah.
And I saw that you were part of the Rhode Island National Guard at one point.
That's correct.
So you've really done a lot of jobs. You've been all over the world. You've been with other organizations. And how did you get to the Minnesota Army National Guard?
Well, obviously, it's been a long road. I've been all over the place. You know, during my time, I was able to work with some of the members from the Minnesota National Guard, and they kind of stood out above other soldiers, to be honest with you. My wife's also from Minnesota. I love to hunt and fish, you know. So I was provided an opportunity to come here and work for RRB, and it was kind of a good way to share my experiences with others and give them the same opportunities that I was provided.
So, Colonel, you found a real experienced soldier, and he was interested in hunting and fishing and joining a great organization, so you must have interviewed him and said, let's put this guy to work.
Yeah, we couldn't pass up on Sergeant First Class Hammer. I mean, his diversity of experience, his overseas experience, his proven leadership in combat, it just made it hard to pass. So, Sergeant Hammer, I'm glad you like to hunt and fish, and I'm glad your wife's from Minnesota so that you could come be with us.
So how do you like it here in Minnesota so far, Sergeant Hammer?
I love it here. It's great. I've got no complaints. I mean, it's the place for me to be.
Now, Sergeant Hammer, I understand in the last year you went through kind of a terrible experience because your wife was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, which actually turned out to be a misdiagnosis. That must have been just a terrible ordeal to go through when you were waiting.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've experienced a lot of stuff before, obviously, but that one, you know, we got the news on that. That takes your brain a little while to process it. You know, once it finally kicked in that, holy crap, this is for real, you know, it was devastating. It really was. It was tough, and we couldn't get the final prognosis for about 30 days. So about a month, we're, you know, I'm trying alternate treatments. We're trying to do everything we could.
And how did your military family here in Minnesota help you during that ordeal?
Super supportive. I mean, hands down, what can we do? How can we help you? I started receiving information packets on those alternate treatments that we started doing. It's just, it was like a family, you know, and that's what it is. The National Guard is like a family.
And the good news, after 30 days or so, you found out that it wasn't.
Correct. And it was just about, it took my brain just about as long to process that as well.
Colonel, as a commander, when you know, you've got your whole family of recruiters out there, and you get close and you work together, and when one of your soldiers is going through something like this, how does that affect you? How do you deal with it?
Well, you know what, we as Army leaders, we believe in being servant leaders, and so we are always there to take care of our soldiers and our families. And you know, when you make that connection and you get to know your soldiers, like Sergeant Hammer, you know, it is family. And so as a father, as a husband, you know, when I see one of my soldiers like Sergeant Hammer going through a difficult time and his wife Angela, you know, your heart goes out to him. You do everything you can. And we always try to balance that. You know, we talk about mission first, but people always. And the people always part of that is so essential. And taking quality care of our people helps us sustain our force, helps them to know that they are in the right place and that we're always there for them.
Sergeant Hammer, having gone through that, and I'm happy that your wife got through that and didn't have the stage four, but that gives you a little more ammunition when you talk to some of these young recruits about what it's like to join the Minnesota Army National Guard. It's not just a job. It's not just a weekend thing. These are people that you're gonna find friends for life, and you're going to get close, aren't you?
Absolutely. Friends for life is the best way to put it.
And then when you're deployed, you learn how to trust your partner, your battle buddy, and make sure you get the mission done and get home safe and get back to your family.
Absolutely. That's probably why I've been in 25 years. I can't leave my family. Yeah.
Now, do these young recruits you talk to, do they ask you about travel? Do they ask you about deployments?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We spend hours in the office, and mostly me reminiscing.
So you're there telling war stories, aren't you?
Well, not exactly war stories. I kind of bleep out some of it.
Well, now, remember now, this is a family show, so let's be careful. But it must be rewarding to have been reinforced that your Army family is there to help you no matter what.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Commander, you've got a great group and a good job to do out there and a hard job to do. And it looks like with people like Sergeant Hammer and all of his experience that there's a reason you have some success.
Absolutely. Yeah, certainly, Tom. And, you know, so to Sergeant First Class Matthews and Sergeant Martinez and Sergeant Hammer, I mean, they are fantastic representatives of today's Army soldier.
Very good, sir. We're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be rejoined by the Command Sergeant Major. And at the end of the show, we're going to be visiting with a gentleman that we've known for quite a while, Commander Dutch Cragen's in the audience, because we're up here live at Cragen's today on Gull Lake. Talking to the Minnesota Army National Guard Recruiting and Retention Battalion. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and today we're live at Cragen's and Gull Lake with the Minnesota Army National Guard Recruiting and Retention Battalion. My co-host for the show today has been Lieutenant Colonel Mike Pasternak, and we're rejoined now by Command Sergeant Major Kurt Service. And, Colonel, I just can't get over this dining room. It's beautiful up here. We're going to talk to Dutch Cragen in a little while. It's a legendary place, and he's a legend in his own mind, too. But we'll get to that in a little bit. Colonel, we wanted to talk a little bit today about the reason you're up here. You're a unique battalion in that you've got your NCOs and warrant officers spread all over Minnesota. Probably only have one or two chances a year to get together and compare notes and do things, although I know you and the Sergeant Major are in contact with them all the time.
Right. Yeah, we get together formally as their entire organization twice a year. We get together in the summer. Our recruiting year starts 1 September, lined up with the start of the school year. And so when we get together in August, it's just our service members, and we train and prepare for the next year. This time of year, and this is our third year in a row here at Cragen's, we come together and bring in all of our families, significant others, spouses, husbands, children. And it's a time to relax, it's a time to enjoy fellowship, it's a time to really highlight the incredible support that our families give us.
And Colonel, last night we were pleased to be able to join you at the banquet last night that Cragen's put on for us, and some great food there, and we got to experience Irma's pot roast, which was great. But at that banquet, you had everybody in here dressed up in their finest uniform and all cleaned up and polished up, and we learned a lot from your special guest speaker, Major General Neil Leutold. I didn't realize that he had been in your position earlier in his career.
Yes, he was. And it was terrific to have him come back now after previously or just finishing commanding the 34th Infantry Division and have him share his thoughts with our soldiers and families.
And it was interesting to see you give out some awards for 100 recruits, 200 recruits, and was it 400 recruits?
400 recruits. As near as we can figure, there's only been four people to ever do that here in the state of Minnesota. And then when you factor in that we have the highest performing recruiting force in the nation, 400 enlistments is an incredible accomplishment.
And then you had a couple of people that you featured that had retired, and wow, they had some great military careers, didn't they?
Sure did. Had a Command Sergeant Major, retired Brad Olson, and Command Chief, Warrant Officer 3, Glenn Feitel. We inducted them into our Recruiting Hall of Fame.
And Sergeant Major, one of the themes last night, although you didn't hit it real hard, was all of your recruiters are out there. They're working days, they're working nights, they're going to the schools, they're putting in whatever time necessary to go out and find some great young soldiers to join the Minnesota Army National Guard. They couldn't do that without the support of their spouses and their families, could they?
No, not at all, Tom. And that was one of the things that we highlighted last night. You saw some of the spouses that got called up and recognized for the support to their soldier, and that's just something that this event is all about. We thank the soldiers and the NCOs for the hard work, our staff, but we also are thanking those spouses and the families and the kids for what they give up and when dad's gone or working those extra hours and things like that.
Well, we even see that with Staff Sergeant Angelo, my military producer, his wife and his new baby are out in the audience. And how's Truman? Is he sleeping, Sergeant Angelo?
Just a little bit. The clapping clapping kind of wakes him up.
And Colonel Paz, we've even got my family, my wife and my son and his family, my grandchildren out there. It's fun to be able to tell these stories. It's fun to be able to tell our listeners about all the hard work that goes into putting together the entire Minnesota Army National Guard, the Air National Guard, and some great people that will go out and serve our country and perform those missions. And it would really be almost impossible if they didn't have the full support of their families.
It certainly would. I would say for me it would be impossible.
Sergeant Major, we're running out of time. We've got to get Dutch on the show. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Just want to let everybody know that what a great organization we've got here. And when you come up to see an event like this and see the outstanding soldiers that we have in this organization, again, you heard Mark Hammer and some of the others. There's a reason why we stay. There's a reason why I've done 31 years and outstanding organization and great people.
A lot of experience there, and there's a lot of power in the group to pull together and accomplish your goals, isn't there?
Absolutely.
That'll be great to be a Sergeant Major as a recruit.
It's fun. I enjoy every minute of it.
Sergeant Major, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Colonel Pasternak, once again, seems like the hour goes by really quick. I appreciate you being here for another year, and what a great battalion, all the good work they're doing. And you're oversubscribed, aren't you, in terms of how many soldiers we have here in Minnesota?
We're always looking for more, Tom.
You always got room for a few more.
We will make room, Tom.
Men, women, anybody that wants to join and serve their country.
That's right. Anybody who meets our entrance requirements and wants to serve their country, we are a completely inclusive force. Anybody who has the heart to serve their state and nation, we would love to have them be part of our team.
And, Colonel, we're joined now by a Korean-era war veteran who's got a brand-new hat over there on the table. I was hoping he'd wear it up here to the state. Dutch Cragen. Dutch, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. And, well, the reason I didn't wear the hat is that because it kind of interferes with a meeting. It hangs over my ears.
probably fit on good over the microphone.
But I want to add what you've been talking about here, Colonel, and is that your men are such a great representative of what young people need to have as role models. These guys are very sharp. Their wives are very sharp. It was a great group. I tell you what, I would have joined if you'd asked me 50 years ago.
Dutch, he signed you up last night. Don't you remember signing that piece of paper?
Well, as a matter of fact, he took me out of the artillery and put me in the cavalry last night with a big hat.
Colonel, did you recruit him out of the artillery? I can't even say it. In the cavalry?
Well, see, I was effective enough as a recruiter that I did it without him knowing it.
Good job, sir. Good job.
So, well, one of the nice things that they did is to bring back some memories of
gee, 55 years ago. And by the way, this 2 weeks from now, I'm getting a year older.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you. You don't want to ask how old I am?
Well, I'm just thinking I know what your birthday gift's going to be from Irma, because
no.
When the Colonel gave you that beautiful hat last night, yeah, she said, do I have to buy him a horse now?
That's right. No, but it's 85 years.
Well, congratulations.
And Mark. So I joined the reserve after college. Yeah, happy birthday to me. But the fun of this event that your team brings up here are the inspiration that you have to have, and you do have, to recruit new people. Because there's a fear, you know, of military, and there's a lot of adverse publicity. But when they can see what kind of men are shaped out of boys, I really believe in military conscription. I think that a whole lot of people, a lot of young men, ought to spend at least a half a year in the military. It's just so refining.
That's the good news of the Dutch, is we don't have to go back to the draft, because Colonel Paz and the recruiting command is doing such a good job. They're getting all the first class people in here, men and women, Dutch.
Yeah, that's right. I was going to say we take young girls and turn them into fantastic women as well. And we have husbands here, not just wives.
And there's some beauties here, too, as well. So I just want to do a little pitch on my favorite project, if you have just a minute. And that is the military cemetery down Little Falls. And that's been underway for 3 or 4 years. I've been tapped for a little money on it, and we raised some full. We need about $180,000 more to finish that reserve room, which has some gorgeous paintings of each of the various services. And, Tom, you said you at one time interviewed the artist.
We did, sir.
Who is still living in St. Paul, or in Little Falls area, and he is busy finishing up these last two murals. So it's
Dutch is talking about the Minnesota State Veterans Cemetery that's just outside of Camp Ripley over in Little Falls. It's a beautiful cemetery. They just opened a second one down in Preston, but the one in Little Falls inside of the main building, they've got these murals up on the ceiling, and there's one for each branch of the service. And I think, has he got three of them done, Dutch?
Right, three are finished off. And this is a marvelous place to spend eternity with guys and gals.
Are you recruiting for the state cemetery, Dutch?
I am, because...
This is a recruiting show, you know. We're not ready, just for the record.
Your people are so young, they're not thinking about it.
Not yet, sir.
But 85, you know, I got to be kind of preparing.
I hope you're not pointing at me on that one. I'm old, but not quite that old.
But this is there's only two cemeteries. Now, this third one is starting, but there are only two in Minnesota. One at Fort Snelling, and this one across the road from... Fort Ripley.
And just to clarify, the one at Fort Snelling is a federal VA cemetery.
Right.
The state has two cemeteries, one in Little Falls and one in Preston, and they're starting to build a third one up in Duluth, and there'll be a fourth one coming in Redwood Falls. But the one up in Little Falls is impeccably, it's just beautiful, really well taken care of. And as you mentioned last night, General Vesey was buried there recently,
and his
they
wife.
Lost the general.
Right.
And those murals are fantastic.
So we're asking for donations, as well as people who'd like to spend the rest of their passing with other fellow veterans in Little Falls.
Okay. Well, there'll be information on that. We'll see if Sergeant Angel can put that up. Now, Dutch, we're in this beautiful dining room, and you're a second generation here in Cragins, but you've been running this for, did I see something about, is this the 75th anniversary of Cragins?
It is. We actually opened... In 1940, we only had one cabin ready, but in 1941, we had eight. And my dad went in to sign the mortgage on December 6th, 1941, the day before Pearl Harbor. So we were celebrating the signing and so on with my uncle, who was in the Navy, and he said, well, this bombing, you know, it'll only take a couple months. Well, he didn't know that the Navy was on the bottom of the ocean in Hawaii.
Dutch, I see Catherine Stotka's in the audience. She sets up all of these events, but you've done a great job of supporting the military for decades here. We just want to thank you for that.
Thank you, but my great job was hiring Catherine. That's...
Well, she keeps the trains running on time, doesn't she?
Yes, right.
Catherine, you've done a great job in taking good care of the Recruiting and Retention Battalion. Thank you. Any final thoughts for our listeners about all the great work that your battalion does to recruit our young men and women to join the Minnesota Army National Guard?
Sure. Dutch, I'd like to thank you again for your hospitality and hope you wear your Cavs Stetson proudly. You know, it's as we've talked about it's a challenge. We've talked about the opportunities. You've heard stories from some of our non-commissioned officers and myself and the Sergeant Major about our own experience. And, you know, everybody has a story. And everybody has a reason. And everybody has opportunity should they choose to work hard and take it.
Well, Colonel, you're an inspiration, and the recruiting battalion's done a great job. And, Dutch, thanks for getting up early this morning and joining us on the radio again.
Yeah, my pleasure. But above all, meeting these great guys. They're a great team. Recruiting
and,
for us.
And gals.
And gals.
Back in Korea, it was mostly guys, Dutch. But today, the women are carrying a huge load today, and they add a lot to the force, don't they, Colonel?
Sure do.
And our president has told us that he needs more men in the service.
And women.
And women.
We're live today from Craigens on Gull Lake with the Minnesota Army National Guard Recruiting and Retention Battalion. Thanks for joining us, Mr. Craigens, and Colonel Pasternak. It's always a pleasure to be with you for an hour on a beautiful morning like this. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week. Sergeant First Class Mark Hammer, Sergeant First Class A.C. Matthews, Sergeant Serena Martinez, Command Sergeant Major Kurt Service, and finally, Lieutenant Colonel Mike Pasternak, Commander of the Minnesota Army National Guard Recruiting and Retention Battalion. Please join us next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.